Okay, so imagine you're trapped in prison, facing a very real threat to your life. Escape seems like the only option, but, well, that's a crime.
Right.
Yeah, so that's the dilemma at the heart of today's deep dive.
It really makes you think about the limits of the law, you know, where your own survival comes up against the rules of society.
Exactly, and we're diving into a case today, People v. Unger, from 1977. It really shook up how courts view these necessity defenses. When someone escapes prison, a story about a young man, terrifying violence,
Yeah.
legal twists and turns.
And you have a dissenting judge who is really worried about this ruling, that it could throw the whole system into chaos,
Yeah.
almost like opening Pandora's box.
Right. So let's introduce everyone to our main character here, Francis Unger,
Okay.
22 years old, serving 1 to 3 years for theft.
Huh.
And he gets sent to a minimum security honor farm.
So, not too bad on the surface.
Right. You'd think.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But Unger's reality, it quickly spirals into this nightmare. He is brutally assaulted and beaten by other inmates,
Yeah.
then gets a death threat.
And they're accusing him of snitching,
Right.
even though he don't report the assault, out of fear.
So he's in this incredibly dangerous situation, fearing for his life. 5 days after the attack, Unger makes a run for it. He escapes.
Pure instinct,
Yeah.
self-preservation.
Just totally takes over. He's found later at a motel, still wearing his prison clothes. Not exactly some hardened criminal mastermind
Right.
planning an elaborate escape.
But escape is still a crime, no matter what. Unger gets convicted, faces an additional 3 to 9 years on top of his initial sentence. Seems straightforward, right?
Not really, because the trial court actually didn't let Unger tell the jury his reasons for escaping.
Wait, but
They
we.
basically said, ignore his defense.
Well, so hold on. They completely ignored his reasons. Seems like everyone should be able to explain their actions, especially in a situation this serious.
You'd think, and that's where the legal stuff gets interesting. So the trial court was going by a very strict reading of this earlier case, People v. Leverkamp.
And this case set some really specific requirements for someone to successfully use a prison escape defense. Like, you had to exhaust all your other options before escaping.
So, like reporting the threat, going to the court.
Exactly. Unger didn't meet all of those. He
Okay.
hadn't reported the threats, hadn't gone to the authorities inside the prison. Understandably, the guy was terrified, acted on instinct, but because of that, the trial court wouldn't allow his defense.
Oh, wow. That feels unfair. It's like they're saying he had to put his life at risk to meet these, like, technical requirements before his fear could even be considered legitimate.
Right.
But it sounds like the Illinois Supreme Court stepped in.
They did, and this is key to understanding this whole case. They basically said, hey, those Leverkamp factors, important, but they're not automatic deal breakers.
Okay, so they didn't throw out Leverkamp completely,
Huh?
but they recognized that it wasn't perfect for every situation.
Yeah, they gave the power back to the jury, said those Leverkamp factors, their evidence to consider, to weigh, not just these hard and fast rules that automatically determine guilt or innocence.
This is where it gets interesting for me,
Yeah.
because it really shows that balance between upholding the law and recognizing that there are these gray areas where human instinct comes into play. You know, what happens when following the rules could put you in serious danger.
Yeah, it's the core question, isn't it? And it's still debated in legal circles. Unger didn't give us a clear-cut answer,
Right.
but it made it possible to consider these situations in a more nuanced way.
And like you said earlier, this goes way beyond just prison escapes.
Right.
Like, makes you think about self-defense, situations where people break into buildings for shelter during emergencies.
Exactly. Where do you draw the line? When does breaking the rules become not just acceptable, but actually the right thing to do?
It's a tough question.
Right. And how do we balance those individual rights with keeping order in society?
Yeah, how do you even begin to figure that out?
That's what makes this case so thought-provoking, even after all these years.
Absolutely. And it gets even more complex when you remember that not every judge agreed with the Supreme Court. We have Justice Underwood, right?
Hell yeah.
Dissenting, expressing some serious concerns.
Yeah. Underwood's dissent is crucial here, and we're going to explore that in detail in the next part of our deep dive.
Yeah, Underwood's dissent brings up some really important points. He argued that if you loosen the requirements for this necessity defense in escape cases, like it could have these unintended consequences.
Okay, so let's unpack this dissent a bit. What were Underwood's biggest concerns? I mean, was he basically saying the Supreme Court got it wrong?
Well, he didn't exactly say it was a bad idea, but he had some serious reservations. His main worry was that by relaxing those Leverkamp requirements, you might see way more false escape attempts.
I can see his point. I mean, without those stricter guidelines, seems like it would be a lot easier for someone to make up a story about feeling threatened, just as an excuse to escape. Exactly. It would be harder to tell the difference between a genuine case of necessity and one that was, you know, made up or exaggerated.
Right, right. So then how do you strike that balance? On the one hand, you want to protect people who are truly in danger,
right,
with no other choice but to escape. But on the other, you don't want to create loopholes that could put the whole prison system at risk.
It's a classic legal dilemma, isn't it?
Yeah.
Protecting individual rights while maintaining order and security in a system designed to restrict freedom. Underwood felt that the Supreme Court's ruling tipped the scales too far in favor of individual rights, potentially undermining the whole prison system.
And what about Unger specifically? Did Underwood buy his story, or did he see this as an example of, like, potential abuse of this defense?
Underwood was definitely skeptical. He pointed out that Unger hadn't reported the threats,
right,
or tried to get help from prison authorities before escaping.
So to Underwood, that suggests maybe the threat wasn't as urgent?
Yeah, maybe not as serious as Unger made it out to be.
Right.
He also brought up the fact that Unger didn't turn himself in.
Oh, interesting.
Once he was safe, if he really escaped out of fear for his life, why not go to the authorities as soon as he was out of danger?
Okay, yeah, I see his point. It's like Underwood was looking at the timeline and wondering if Unger's actions really matched up with his claims of imminent danger.
Exactly. And he used those inconsistencies to say, look, those Loverkamp factors, they're important. They're there to prevent false claims.
So devil's advocate for a second. Couldn't you argue that Unger was just traumatized, acting on instinct? Maybe he wasn't exactly thinking clearly or strategically.
Oh, totally possible. And I'm sure Unger's lawyers made that argument. But for Underwood, the problem was that without those strict Loverkamp guidelines, it becomes really hard to assess the truthfulness of these claims.
Right. It's like, how do you know what's real and what's not?
Exactly.
We keep coming back to this tension between individual rights and the need for order. How much weight do you give someone's subjective experience of fear, even if their actions don't perfectly match our expectations?
It's the million-dollar question, right? And there are no easy answers. Every case has its own quirks. The law has to be flexible enough to deal with that. But, as Underwood points out, you always run the risk of that flexibility being taken advantage of.
So we've got this back and forth, this legal battle.
Yeah.
Supreme Court going for a more lenient approach. Underwood warning about the potential pitfalls. What happened next? Did the legal world embrace the Unger ruling?
Yeah.
Or did Underwood's concerns carry more weight?
That's a great question. And it takes us to the next chapter of this deep dive. Unger didn't end the debate, but it definitely changed things, changed how these kinds of cases are argued and decided.
All right. So we've been digging into this case, People v. Unger,
yeah,
about prison escapes, the limits of the law, and, you know, what happens when survival instinct goes up against those rules.
Right.
We saw the Illinois Supreme Court. They went with a more flexible approach to this whole necessity defense thing. And then we had Justice Underwood,
yeah,
sounding the alarm, warning about possible abuse. So I got to know, what happened after all that? How did this case affect the legal system?
Well, it's interesting because it shows you how a single case can really make a lasting impact. Unger didn't, like, solve the whole issue,
right,
of necessity defenses in escape cases, but it made the legal world confront some big questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sparked debates, influenced how lawyers approach these cases, even changed how we think about justice itself.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit. How did Unger actually change things legally speaking? Did it become, like, every defense attorney's go-to strategy?
Right.
When they had an escape case.
I mean, it definitely became part of the playbook. Before Unger, necessity defenses were pretty rare,
uh-huh,
and usually unsuccessful because of those strict Loverkamp requirements. Hmm. But Unger, it opened up possibilities. Defense attorneys had more room to argue that their client, yeah, technically broke the law, but it was justified under those specific circumstances.
So instead of just saying my client was scared, they could now go deeper.
Right.
Talk about the defendant's state of mind, the threat they felt, why escape seemed like the only option.
Exactly. It went from checking off boxes to painting a fuller picture for the jury.
Mm-hmm.
They could bring in evidence about, like, the psychological effects of the threats, how there were no other options within the prison, and why their client felt they had to escape.
I imagine that created new problems for prosecutors too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. They couldn't just brush off a necessity defense anymore. Had to adapt their strategies, anticipate these more complex arguments, find ways to counter them, maybe scrutinize the timeline, point out inconsistencies, anything that contradicted this idea of imminent danger.
It became a more, like, strategic legal game then.
Yeah.
Both sides had to really think about the psychology, the circumstances, all that.
Exactly. And that's the real legacy of Unger. It's not just about winning or losing a case. It's about realizing the law has to be flexible. It has to deal with how complex human behavior is, situations that don't fit neatly into categories.
Makes you wonder, how many cases have been affected by Unger since then? Did it spark similar debates in other states, or was it mainly an Illinois thing?
Well, Unger might be from Illinois, but its impact. Way bigger than that.
Yeah.
Legal scholars see it as a landmark decision. Influenced how courts all over the country deal with necessity defenses in escape cases. It's even been used in cases about other crimes, where the defendant said they broke the law to prevent something worse from happening.
So it's become this key case for understanding when it's okay to break the law.
Yeah. And when those limits can be crossed for good reason. And that's where it gets really interesting. Unger didn't just change legal tactics. It brought back this debate about the very nature of justice.
A debate that goes way beyond the courtroom, huh? Touches on some pretty deep philosophical stuff.
Totally. Like, when does following the rules actually cause more harm than breaking them? Who gets to decide that? And how do you balance order, accountability, with the fact that sometimes extraordinary situations call for extraordinary actions?
We keep circling back to this idea, individual rights versus societal expectations. And it's not just prison escapes. It's about any time someone feels they have to break the law for a reason they think is justified.
Right, like self-defense cases or someone breaking into a building for shelter during a disaster. Those are all times when the law might be broken, but the reason why. It's complicated, often about protecting yourself or others, and Unger. It gives us a way to look at those tough situations, wrestle with the ethical and legal questions.
It's like the case highlights this tension between the black and white of the law and the messiness of real life.
Yeah.
Reminds us that justice isn't always about blindly following rules. It's about understanding the context, the motives, and what might happen because of our actions, legally and morally.
You nailed it. People v. Unger, even after all this time. It's a powerful reminder that to really achieve justice, we need to think in shades of gray, weigh competing values, and realize that sometimes compassion and flexibility are just as important as following the letter of the law.
It's a lot to think about.
Yeah.
And I'm sure our listeners have plenty to chew on. After this deep dive, and a fascinating look at a case that still matters.
Yeah, for sure.
In the legal world and beyond.
It's a reminder that even in law, there's always more to learn, to question, to uncover.
Absolutely. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and stay curious.